Welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm one of your hosts, Abby.
And I'm another one of your hosts, Bree. And it's a beautiful day.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. Ooh, that felt like our best.
I don't know. I really stumbled through that one.
I also felt like I just listened to Dax Shepard, and so I wanted to go like, hello, hello, hello.
His name is Dan Shepard?
He changes it every time.
Okay, so I'm not crazy hearing that sometimes.
No. It'll be like Monica Paulman. He makes up names.
That makes sense. But I feel like the past couple episodes, he said Dan Shepard every time. And so I'm like, wait, is he saying, is that his name? Like, I've gotten very confused. So anyway.
Well, we are a Grey's Anatomy podcast that's deep diving every single episode of Grey's. We're currently in season 9, episode 11, 12. And we are a spoiler podcast. So if you don't want to know what has happened in the show, don't listen until you've watched it. I was going to say go to the beginning, but that still wouldn't help you. We have some really cool ways if you would like to connect with the podcast more than just your weekly episode. One of them is going to www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. This one, you can pledge to be an intern, a resident, or an attending. And I just really want to plug the fact that once a month before this pandemic even began, we do a Zoom hangout with all of our $10 listeners, and it's really fun. And you're already doing Zoom with your work and your friends and your family and your nemesis. You might as well do it with your podcast hosts as well. So I don't know, what else? Facebook group access. There's like a ton of really great stuff.
Bonus episodes a day early. You can call time of death. You get our show notes. Lots of cool things.
Yeah. Yep. And you'll also see too, which I guess we should have talked about this before we started recording, but we do goals on there in order to like give you guys more things. And once we have more patrons, and we reached one of our goals.
We did. Yes.
So I would say starting next week.
Yes. Since we didn't talk about this.
Yeah. We will be releasing for anyone who is a patron. Did we decide how? We'll have to talk about this.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, but you're going to get a bonus 10 minutes of the podcast, and it's probably going to be unfiltered and weird. It's like, what does Heather McMahon say? Locked up raw? It's going to be like Brie and Abby raw. We're going to do 10 minutes when we normally would stop the recording and just keep talking about whatever it is we feel like and release that as a special thing for certain patrons. So that's like another really amazing incentive. And plus, you're just supporting us, which we really appreciate.
Yes, super grateful. Another way to support the podcast is to follow us on Instagram at the on call room pod. And
yes,
you can also follow me personally at BJ Babs. That is BJBABS. I want you to know, Abby, that I hit 600 followers. What's up?
My God. You are on your way to 1,000.
Mm-hmm. Pretty cool. So Abby has like 1 million followers. It's cool. It's cool.
I will say too, I'll talk about it in a second actually. But yeah, so follow us on Instagram. We post when new episodes air. Also, it's just funny and we love our community there. We love when you interact with us, and we would really appreciate if you give us a little follow. And lastly, you can leave us a review on iTunes and Spotify. This is the best way to basically recommend the podcast to everyone. We called out a few of them today just because I felt like it. And there were a couple new ones, especially during quarantine. I feel like quarantine has been great for getting new listeners.
Yeah.
So I'll read the first one. You want to read the second one?
Sure.
Okay. So the first one is by Sarah Keat. Left on 420. What up? I don't know why I said that.
Cool.
Yeah. She says, love Grey's Anatomy and love listening to you guys. And also go green.
Yeah.
I'm a sophomore going to Michigan State. Brie and I both attended Michigan State.
Yes, we did. I did not graduate from there, but I am a Spartan at heart. So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah Keat. Then we have Margaret McGuire. She left this on 4-2, not 4-20.
Not to be confused with 4-20.
Best podcast out there. I've been listening for quite some time now, and I'm just now realizing I never wrote a review. I just adore this podcast and all the in-depth Grey's goodness it brings. Love all the work you do. Every episode always brings a smile to my face and brightens my day. Much love. Thank you, Margaret McGuire. Much love to you as well.
I was just going to say that. Also, Margaret McGuire sounds like it should be a TV show.
It sounds like the title of a book.
Yeah, I really wish my name was that.
Like Margaret McGuire, and it's like kind of like a Sherlock Holmes book, but it's like a woman like investigating crime.
That's perfect.
That's my idea of what Margaret McGuire does. So
I think it's great. Yet again, Bree and I are separated from each other. It is shitty, but we are doing our due diligence. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we are still social distancing. And I just have to say, because there's not much news in my life, that I got a stand-up desk.
Which is great. Well, haven't you had it?
Yes, I've had it. It's been in my basement for a year. I didn't want to put it in my office because I already have a really nice desk and I didn't think two would be smart. But after like sitting on my ass a lot lately in my desk, I just was like, you know what? Fuck it. I want to redecorate. So I brought it in and it actually fits beautifully with the other one. And I just have to say, standing up while working has changed my life a little bit.
Yeah, it's that's why people like stand-up desks, like the sit-to-stand ones, I mean.
Yeah, and that's what this one goes up and down and everything. I like that I can alternate, and also I like that when I listen to music, like while I'm typing or something, I can kind of like bop around. Mm-hmm. And when I eat Cheez-Its while working, it feels like they're digesting better because like I'm standing, and so like I'm pretty sure competitive eaters stand up when they eat. So that way, like, my Cheez-Its are not being stuck. And then I sit up and I'm like, holy shit. This time I'm like, I can tell when, you know, when I've eaten too many.
I did not know that about competitive eaters. That's really weird that you know that.
Yeah, you know the guy that Jake watches all the time? His name is Randy Santel. It is disgusting. Don't look it up on YouTube. He's on his knees. Like, he sits on the ground on his tall knees.
Why would anyone do that?
Competitive eaters stand on your knees.
Well, but why would anyone competitive eat? Like, yeah, it's such an odd thing to compete.
I mean, he makes a shitload of money, so I don't know.
But then does he purge it?
Not always, no. He also, like, has millions of views. It's wild. Jake is his biggest fan. For Jake's birthday
I'm sorry. Is he competing against someone else, or is he competing against, like, a record? Sorry.
He does food challenges. So he goes around the whole United States and other countries and like, you know how restaurants have like, beautiful, he'll always be like, if I eat this in 15 minutes, I will get a free t-shirt. Yeah. I will get $50 and a gift card to Suburban Steaks. Yeah. Yeah. And so he does that. And he's always like, I get this sweet t-shirt. That's like, he always is like, wow, I won this. Or it's like, and my meal is free. And that's my favorite part is like, I'm sorry that you even would have to pay for that, but Jake loves watching it. It's very therapeutic to him and it makes me want to die inside.
Does he just watch it especially, on YouTube?
Yeah, but he projects it on the television, especially so because weird. He watches it, I mean, at all hours of the day, but also because Randy Santel has a alter ego. When he's eating, his name is Atlas.
Oh my God, this is so weird. And he puts weird.
He turns into Atlas when he puts his hat on backwards and then he flexes his muscles and then he starts eating. And then when he's done, he puts his hat forwards. Don't watch it.
I'm going to watch an episode today or like try to. I don't have anything to do today and I think I want to feel weird today.
Watching him eat French fries is the worst because he like mashes them into his mouth.
Is it gross it's noises? Horrifying.
I don't know. Well, also the best is like the videos play like rock music. Like when he's eating, it's like da 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 da. But in his head, he listens to pop music like Britney Spears and Katy Perry because he wears headphones.
This is so weird.
And there's always like a weird audience too that's like cheering for him.
Audience
simultaneously looking disgusted.
Oh my God. If he ever comes to Grand Rapids, you have to go watch him do it.
Well, so Jake is Facebook friends with him. What? I think that he like, I think he friends anyone, but Jake once got a DM from him because he sent one first and he replied. So my hope is that he's pretty easily accessible and that for Jake's birthday, I can have him make a video for Jake and like maybe eat a pancake or something, you know, pancake in 10 seconds, a mini challenge.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I like that.
Yeah.
That would have been great for his 30th birthday.
You know, he got to go to a Lions game and we even went inside of a strip club. So I think that he got his birthday wish.
Perfect.
I think I enjoyed the strip club more than he did.
I mean, you know.
It was honestly an athletic feat.
Yeah. Speaking of strip clubs, I mean, we have a storyline in this Grey's episode about a pole dancing.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's so great.
Yeah. So we'll definitely talk about that.
Do you have any news to share?
Oh, what about me? I am in season 4 of Homeland. So we've really been plugging away. And I know it's over now. I haven't seen any spoilers, so that's good.
Good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I just want to say that there's this character that I hated. I don't want to spoil it for anyone. There's this character that I hated, and then he ends up leaving the show. And I feel sad about it, and I feel weird that I feel sad about it, like that I miss him. Because I didn't like him. And
I feel like you're allowed to say his name because it has literally been, it's been like 7 years.
Okay, since Brody. I fucking hated Brody.
You don't have to say what happens to him, but
I thought he was the worst. But then even when he was the worst, I like kind of liked him. I don't know why. And then when he leaves the show, I had to not watch the next episode for a second. Like I had to like kind of grieve him leaving the show. And
right.
I didn't think that would happen. Why did I feel
My mom was like convinced that he was going to come back. Like she was like, he's not gone.
And I was like, no, mom.
Yeah. I was like, mom, he's definitely gone. And she's like, no. And she was like halfway through the next season. And she's like, so when is he coming back? And I was like, he's not fucking coming back.
He's never coming back.
Look at the IMDb. Like he is not on the show anymore. But yeah, so. My mom thought I was lying to her.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that maybe he would like, and at the last second, things would be different. And then it just wasn't. And I was like, oh shit, that is not how I saw that going.
I know.
It's hard.
I will say to people who haven't watched it yet, if you were like, because there's some seasons that are better than others, obviously, and worse than others. We finished it and I thought for a series finale, which like a series finale is so hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like how do you please everyone? How do you wrap up a story that's like, there's only 8 seasons, but I think it's been like 10 years of filming pretty much. Like, I mean, how do you do that? And I honestly, granted, I have only been invested the past like 4 months with this show, but I thought it was a really good ending. So it's worth watching.
Yeah, I'm excited to get there, but I don't want to push too fast. But then I was sad because like in season 4, it's like they wrapped up storylines. And so things are just new in season 4
all
of a sudden.
Things start over. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just like kind of irritated with that. Beyond that,
What if I tell you that the series finale though has a lot of tie back? Like
oh,
it will
that makes
feel
me happy.
Like reminiscent. Yeah. So it's worth it.
Yeah. Also just, you know, been farming on my phone. I'm on like level 45 or something. So thriving there.
I'm really proud of you.
I finished a book too, so that's
I'm
great.
Also, that makes me so proud.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at. Other than that, I don't really, don't have anything exciting. I mean, we're just doing the same damn thing. It's raining today too.
I know, but it's like the kind of rain where if you open your windows, it sounds like a noise machine.
Yeah,
like
it's very like, pretty.
Yeah, last night I opened all our windows and sat in silence because it sounded really nice.
I sat on our porch swing and listened to it.
Oh, I wish I had one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, I mean, shall we just like get into it?
Sure.
Why not, right?
Yeah. This is season 9, episode 11 and 12. The end is the beginning is the end and walking on a dream. That is a really hard title.
It sure is. I'll read the first one.
Okay.
Okay. So this is for episode 11. The big day is here. The day you're going to hear the news, the test result. Is the biopsy malignant or benign? Am I going to live or die? You just want to know, even if the news is scary, because then you can move on, whatever that means. They say ignorance is bliss because once you know about the tumor or the prognosis, you can't go back. Will you be strong or will you fall apart? It's hard to predict, so don't worry about it. Enjoy the time you have before the news comes. Yep, ignorance is bliss. Meredith Grey.
Okay, nice job. Second one. Patients who undergo an amputation often feel a sensation where the missing limb was, as if it's still there. The syndrome is called phantom limb. It's as if the body can't accept that a terrible trauma has occurred. The mind is trying to make the body complete again. Patients who experience phantom limb report many different sensations, but by far the most common is pain. The body can be stubborn when it comes to accepting change. The mind holds on to hope that the body can be whole again, and the mind will always fight for hope, tooth and nail, until it finds a way of understanding its new reality and accepts that what is gone is gone forever. Meredith Grey.
Nice. Do you want to do chakra workup? Because my rounds might be confusing the way
sure.
I typed them.
Also, I added a rounds in there.
Perfect.
Shotgun workup. We have Derek Shepherd. He's in rehab. Leonard Olson, crush injury, punctured diaphragm. Sheila Olson, bruised tailbone. James Leggett, Cruzan syndrome.
I always see that as crouton syndrome.
Yes, crouton syndrome. Taylor Lands, Bazaar. Would that like honestly like Bazaar? That looks like something.
I think it's Beezer.
That looks like something that. A noise in a video game of someone punching someone.
Have you not read Harry Potter where when he tries to give him a Beezer, I feel like it looks like that?
No.
Snape has it in his... Okay, it's in book five.
Trichotillomania. Rob Newsom, swallowed objects. Miranda Bailey, infection, sand, flea bites. Arizona Robbins, phantom limb pain. Jimmy McAdams, acoustic neuroma. Brie, liver failure. Not me. Is that Ya
or Nia?
Nia?
Naya.
Naya.
Nia?
Naya. Pericarditis and endomycardial fibrosis.
That was the little girl.
Yes. And Brian Turner. I thought that said Brian Tumor. Brian Turner, minor head injury.
Wonderful. All right. For rounds, I have the whole airplane incident. Everyone... get all the victims getting $15 million and then realizing that the hospital has to pay for that. And so they're going to go bankrupt. We have Jackson still sleeping with Stephanie telling April, and we have Matthew coming into the picture. Karev and Wilson are still friends. She buys him a couch. It's not a huge storyline, but they're still hanging out. Richard not allowing himself to grieve, feeling like he doesn't deserve it, kind of like Meredith not letting herself be happy. And then he ends up getting dinner with Catherine. We have Bailey's honeymoon and her feelings toward pole dancing and exciting sex. We have Arizona's phantom limb pain and Owen helping her. We have the physician advisor arriving. I wrote, is bitchy, annoys everyone, suggests cutting the ER. And then we have Derek operating again. I have a suggestion.
Okay.
Should we, after first notes, maybe instead of starting with the small storyline, should we start with the biggest ones?
Sure. Yeah, okay. Why not?
Perfect.
Let's just mix it up.
Let's do it. What's your first note?
Derek is focusing on her first trimester being over. I don't know
I wrote,
that means.
I wrote Derek would track her flow. Like he would know that her first trimester is over more than she would know and realize that her first trimester is over.
Yeah. Although she's not
flowing.
I mean,
he means it because then she's like out of the woods.
Right.
Usually once you're over 12 weeks or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't know how. 12 isn't the right number. Maybe it is. Anyways, I've never had a baby.
Clearly, we know nothing about pregnancy. So moving on.
So which one do we want to talk about first?
Well, I thought we were going to talk about the big storyline.
What's the biggest one?
I think
the airplane?
I would say like the lawsuit and that lady coming in.
Perfect. Let's do the lawsuit and that lady. Let's start with the lawsuit because, it's just, okay. First of all.
$15 million.
Is a shitload of money.
Dude, that's so much money. A person.
And like how, well, they all get called to the court like immediately and it's very dramatic. And then they get there and Callie's like the last one to arrive and she's like, what happened? Did we lose? Blah, blah, blah. And they're like, and Arizona says $15 million. And then there's like a pause and she says each.
Yeah.
And it's so dramatic. That's literally an insane amount of money.
So does that mean that Meredith gets Lexi's money too?
I would think Lexi and Mark don't get money.
No, I think they do because I remember like Callie ends up getting Mark's share.
Oh, damn. So yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. And yeah, they're all sort of in disbelief, which I feel like is really realistic. I don't actually think people would be like, woo. I think like Arizona is that way. But also let's remember that she was not on the airplane.
Arizona.
So I think like Cali.
Right.
Yeah. I think like her reaction is so different because, yeah, like she didn't experience it the same way that they did.
She doesn't have the same. She has a trauma with a lowercase T and they have a trauma with a capital.
Yes. Uh-huh. Exactly. And she like immediately invites them to have this like survivor's celebration dinner, which like I literally cringed at when she suggested it. It just felt like read the room, Callie.
Yeah. I did appreciate though. Can we talk about that dinner?
Yeah.
So at the dinner, I wrote down what Callie said because it's super awkward. It was like very awkward in the beginning of the dinner. And then Callie wants to have a toast and everyone's like, oh God. And she said, we're all trying to move on, which is progress. It feels sad and weird and wrong, but it also feels exciting. She said, I miss Mark and Lexi and I'm heartbroken. They're not here today, but I also am grateful that all of you are, and I'm going to celebrate that and we're going to toast. And I thought that was nice.
Oh yeah. I mean, I thought like once she said that, like it was perfect. I just felt like, why didn't, just the way she was like, let's celebrate, was like a little like weird, but you're 100%. That scene was really heartfelt. And clearly she is like trying to find ways to honor them. Mm-hmm. And like she got really teary eyed when she says she misses them.
Yeah.
There's also a sweet moment too, which like we can talk about this in other terms, but Owen isn't there, even though Christina invites him. And it's because Owen feels that Derek like hasn't forgiven him, like thinks it's his fault. Mm-hmm. And he's not wrong. Like, and there's definitely like a feeling towards that. And there's a great scene where I'm kind of skipping. Is this okay? Christina goes to play ping pong with Derek, which we'll talk about in a second. And she just says to him, like, you need to forgive Owen. And he says, it's not that easy. And she says, I know. And there's like a pause. And then it says, forgive him anyway.
Dude,
like,
I wrote that down. That exact.
It was such a good little moment there.
That's a good lesson.
Right. Like forgiving isn't easy.
Yeah. Do you know the song Anyway by Martina McBride? It's one of my favorites.
Sing me it. No, I don't think I know
just,
it.
I sing the whole entire song.
Just sing me a little break.
But the song is all about like doing things anyway, like love them anyway, do this anyway. Mm. And it's like, listen, it's a jam. It's so good. Listen to it after we record.
Okay.
But I love that Christina said that because it was like, yeah, I know it is really hard, but do it anyway.
Right. But like, right. And I think it was beautiful too, that like he does call Owen and, you know, tells him that and Owen still is like, oh, it's okay. Another time. Like, no worries. I can't come. And we learn that it's because Owen's walking into another meeting with the lawyers. But before that too, he talks to Christina and mm-hmm. Christina's like really drunk and talking about how the bathroom has a lock on it. And like, they're super like in sex mode right now. And I love his face when Christina gets on, like he leans against the wall and he just like smiles. Like, despite all that's going on, I really do feel like she makes him feel good. You know, like, it's just, I just honestly, like, wish they'd acted this way with each other, like, in the past season.
Well, yeah, they're, like, clearly in a really good space by not being married anymore.
Right, right. And Christina always says, like, having sex with your husband who's not your husband anymore is, like, really good. Mm-hmm. You should try it. Mm-hmm. And also at the dinner, Callie tries to do a speech or the toast and Meredith won't accept the champagne. And we'll talk about her like journey to this, but she tells them all that she's pregnant.
Yeah.
And she says, I'm happy. So let's celebrate.
And it's cute. Wrote, I am crying. What is the matter with me? I got very emotional in that part.
That was a good scene. I liked that scene.
Yeah. So then when Owen, tells Derek, like, no, well, whatever, like, some other time. I think this is important to tell because I kind of forgot this is what happens. So the insurance company found a loophole that you're not allowed to have more than one attending on the plane. And when Arizona swapped places with Karev at the last second, that put more than one attending. And so the insurance company was not going to pay, which meant that it fell onto the hospital. And they were going to go bankrupt and have to close their door. And I was like, oh, this makes sense. Why? I couldn't remember.
Why the hospital had to pay.
And then I was like, okay. So I just wanted to explain that for anyone who doesn't remember and isn't watching.
Yeah, it's kind of a complicated storyline, like to keep track of everything. And so, yeah, so the episode like ends with that. Because Owen's like, well, who's going to pay that?
Yeah.
It's like, we can't.
You,
and they're
Owen.
Like, yeah, exactly. Right. Which 15 million times...
Six.
But then the dead people, is that still six? I don't know. It's a lot of millions.
It's a lot of millions of dollars.
I'm not good at fast math. I'm not Dax Shepard. Let's just keep moving on this storyline into the next episode.
Yeah, into that lady. What's her name? Alana.
Okay, so two things. One, I don't think I've seen these episodes more than once, if not twice. And the actress that plays her was just on Shameless in the newest season. And she played like this like really rich, sassy lesbian mom who is just like a really fun character, I thought. Like, and I really liked her in that role. And kind of bitchy too. And like in this, she's like bitchy as well. And I just laughed. I was like, wait, I'm not supposed to like her, but like, I keep thinking it's the same person that she was, you know? So I'm like, as much as I hate what she's doing and how she's treating things, I also sort of, I don't hate her as much as I think I'm supposed to. Like I just, she's just trying to do her job.
Yeah. I didn't feel that way. My first note is this woman is already the worst. Like I.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't stand her. She might be one of my least favorite characters on Grey's Anatomy. There, I said it.
More than Minnick?
Who?
Minnick, isn't that her last name? The one that tries to revamp the teaching program, and doesn't she sleep with Arizona?
Oh, that person.
That is, yeah. Do you remember her? She has dark hair also and comes in and is like, but anyways, yeah, no, I mean, this lady is definitely like, not whatever. I was like, oh, she's an Enneagram 1, but like extreme and mean. Like she's like looking for everything to be its most maximize the efficiency. But like it isn't having a human heart associated with it. Mm-hmm. But also like that would be a hard job. Like no matter what you say, they're going to hate what you're suggesting, but you're being paid to suggest things to save them money.
Right. And cut programs and cut things that they don't want to cut. And so, yeah, it's a terrible job. You can tell. So she used to be, she's like a doctor she was Richard's student. And you can tell he is not happy that she has decided to go down this road. And
right.
I'm kind of jumping to the end.
That's okay.
Here, but they like meet up at the... what is it, elevator. And she ends up saying to him, like, I think what he said in the first episode, right? About how like, did he say this in the first episode of Grey's Anatomy?
She says that when she, it might be something. Yeah. He says medicine is constantly changing. You have to be a part of that change or get out. I think he does say something similar to that, to the interns, but she says that she remembers him saying that to her in her class and that she never forgot it and like is basically throwing that in his face right now. And then adds on that, like, by the way, Weber, you have logged the least amount of surgery hours than any other general surgeon. Which like is, it's shitty because she also like doesn't know that his wife just died.
Mm-hmm.
But
honestly, I don't think she'd care. She seems like that type of person who's like, too bad your wife died. You know,
right, right, yeah. Even like when she walks in on Robin's having like a moment, I like hated and like that. Like she, like Robin's comes back out and was like, "Sorry, you had to see that." She's like, "We all have moments," like, but she's like not being actually empathetic about.
Well, no, she said we all have moments. Like it stinks or sucks or whatever when it's at work, though. Like super passive aggressive. Like you're allowed to have moments, but you can't have one at work.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, she's not great and she's trying to butt into people's surgeries and like observe all of these. And
Derek wants nothing to do with it.
Yeah, we'll talk about his maybe when we talk about his surgery. But she ends up at the end, there's like a meeting and She is like, all right, everyone, like, I have an idea. You're not going to like it, but I suggest that we get rid of our ER. Because her, well, she also pretended to be an ER patient and like clocked the amount of time before anyone even got to her. And she says basically that, like, you know, you have all these people who really just need like their general doctor and they're coming here instead, and they're wasting your interns are wasting their time working on them. They're getting all these scans and things that they don't need, and it's costing a shit ton of money. It's an interesting idea, because like, I'm sure that that happened. That's like really true. Like sometimes people go to the ER when they don't actually need the ER. Mm-hmm. But their argument back is like, that's how we get all of our cases. Like right. We like are a trauma hospital. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting argument.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this storyline will expand and unfold in different ways. But through this, she wasn't I want to say waited on, but like the doctors didn't get to her. It took like 45 minutes. And so April works really hard to rework the ER and make it run more efficiently. And then at the end, she's like, yeah, thank you for doing that, because I've seen it in both ways now. And both ways, you're like losing money. It doesn't matter if it's running efficiently.
Right.
You're still losing right. money.
Which April is great in the ER.
Yeah. She's a trauma surgeon.
I know. It's still so surprising, you know?
Yeah.
It's like when she has to work under pressure, her like brain can't get in the way of her as far as like overthinking. She just has to like make choices, you know? And like, I don't know. It's just interesting how she thrives.
Well, it's like she tends to trust herself more.
Under pressure.
Yeah. Otherwise, I feel like she's constantly doubting herself and overthinking.
Yeah, I agree. That was a huge like underlying thing.
I'm just annoyed because I just don't like this storyline. And I know it lasts, I think it has to last the rest of the season or close to it.
It ends with them purchasing the hospital, right?
Right, exactly. But okay, so that all has to like play out, and then like they have to be like, I don't know. There's just some other shit that happens, and she just really annoys me. So
yeah, I get it.
But need the drama, I suppose.
Yep.
Well, there's one more thing though that I think we need to talk about in regards to this storyline. And it was at the end when Alana was telling them, like, we need to close the ER or whatever. And Derek goes to object, and Bailey cuts Derek off and yells at him and pretty much is like, I don't see you. Like, what's your plan? Like, I don't see you with a plan. So why don't you just like sit down and listen to what she has to say? Because some of us don't have millions of dollars to fall back on. And then all of like the victims of the crash look at each other like, oh shit. Like, and Derek shuts his mouth, and you can tell that Bailey is pissed off because they're in this situation because they sued the hospital.
Because, right. It's like showing already like a little bit of a divide.
Yes.
Which that is such an interesting like mindset.
Also,
Bailey's willing to do anything. She doesn't want to lose her job.
Right, right. Also, Karev said, I should have been on that damn airplane when he finds out how much they got in the settlement.
His face, he's in the back of the elevator when they're talking about how much money they got. And his face is like disgusted.
Yeah.
He's just like, God damn it. Yeah. I honestly think Karev would trade a leg for $15 million.
Yeah, he might. Evil Spawn.
Yeah. Evil Spawn. I love him and I hate him. Okay, let's talk about maybe Arizona and her leg. I know that was only in the second episode, but it was kind of a big part. And I actually made me like this episode. I thought it was an interesting storyline. So the monologue talks about phantom limb pain. And there's like two scenes where Arizona wakes up in the middle of the night, like in pain. One is like this weird special effect where her leg looks like it's made of glass and it's like breaking. Mm-hmm. The other one is like she's doing surgery. When she cuts the patient, it's cutting her leg. That part was like really hard for me to watch.
Yeah, I said it made me sick to my stomach.
Yeah, like the idea of when you cut, it's cut, I don't know, just like, bleh, bleh.
Yeah.
And her reacting to the pain was really like real, you know? Like it was really good acting. She like has it during surgery with Christina and Karev too, on the Naya, I think the patient's name is. And she ends up sitting in that room having like a breakdown, and Owen is in there. And I love when I feel like they give Owen's character storylines that like deal with his past, you know, being in the
army.
Is that the right mm-hmm. word? Yeah. Okay. I really loved that he like right away knew it, and he like puts that mirror in front of her, and it makes her leg pain go away. I just thought like, and that she's kind of like, I can't ask Callie, blah. And he like offers to work with her. I just thought I love when his storyline like uses that to his strength, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. And also that he kind of knew what was going on right away. Like he was like, phantom right. limb pain. She says yes. And then he exactly like says, well, what about Callie? And she's like, I'm just becoming a wife again. I can't be her patient. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, I'm going to work with you every day so we can reroute your brain.
Right.
So you aren't in this pain. And I will say it was a little like... like him screaming in the intercom was a little,
yes.
a little crazy. I was like, whoa, chief. Okay. Screaming like stab her in the foot. This is an order. Like your chief of surgery. Yeah.
I have that note too. I said, Owen telling her to stab her in the foot. LOL. Stab her in the foot. Like yeah. he's always like, just when I'm like, oh, this is a great story. I'm like, why are you so intense?
Yeah. He's like, eyes are like bulging out of his head. And it's like, oh, okay, Owen, like, and he just the way he said it too, it was just like very much like, I feel like Army yeah. Owen was like,
yeah, popped out of there. Yeah, I am your captain.
Yeah, like, do as I say.
Then Karev stabs her in the prosthetic and the pain goes away. It's crazy how she just like suddenly starts like breathing again.
Yeah. Before all of that, I kind of skipped a bunch, but they try to do like biofeedback, like virtual reality mm-hmm. and like listening to waves, and they do the mirror thing. Then she does the mirror thing in her bedroom at home, and then it just like isn't working. And what's Owen has told her in the beginning, like the one thing that ended up working for this soldier was like he had to stab his prosthetic leg or whatever. And that was the only thing that made yeah. the pain go away. And so I think she gets that idea from talking to Owen and is in surgery and is in a ton of pain. And yeah.
Yeah. Perhaps, and I mean,
stabs her with a scalpel or her prosthetic.
Her pain was so bad too, that like, and the way she acted, that like, it was so weird to see Karev before that surgery suggest that maybe she stay out of it so that everything goes well and they don't cut the Africa program, because he doesn't want her to like freak out again,
right.
which is so like, I can't imagine what that would feel like when you're the one that taught him everything he knows.
Yeah.
And of course too, the, what's her name? Alana. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
She is there when Karev stabs her in the foot in the middle of surgery.
Right.
Of course. But yeah, so she ends up being able to finish the surgery, and that program does not get cut.
Yes.
There's a funny moment in that program too. So Christina is operating because it's a heart issue, and Christina's like obsessed. Like she's never seen this before. She's like, oh my God, this heart, like whatever. And then when they're telling the like person that's with the girl that like, she's okay. Christina's like, what else do you have over there? Like she's like, what other sicknesses? And Gref is just like, to ignore her. Like, cause she just like wants to know what else is over there, which is so funny because in the beginning of the episode, she's making fun of Karev and she's like, oh, your little, what does she say? She's like, shit, I can't find it. But she like makes fun of Alex and is like, yeah, you're like, where you're flying people to other countries, like that's going to get cut for sure. And then she ends up like wanting to be in on it.
Yes. Because, well, and then it's funny too, in the meeting before Alana even suggests cutting the ER or anything.
Oh, yeah.
Christina stands up and gives this hilarious speech about like, you can't cut the Africa program. And then she ends up saying like, I need this or something. And then she's like, they need this. And then Alana's yeah. like, yeah, I'm not cutting that program. She's just like kind of sits down like, okay.
Okay. Yeah, it's great. It's really great. All right, you pick. Popcorn Brie, what do you want to talk about next?
Well, I just quickly want to say, too, since we were talking about Arizona, that in the first episode, she's questioning Avery's medical choice or whatever, and wants him to do it the way that Sloan was going to do it in Sloan's plan. And I just wanted to point out that Arizona always does this. Like, she does this all the time. Like, she does this with Karev. Like, she comes in and she questions what they're doing in surgery. You know what I mean?
Right. Which the patient, I think his name is James. And yeah, he's wants to do something different than what Mark has been doing. And then he like changes his mind and says he's going to do what Mark says. And then he changes his mind again. And it's kind of weird and back and forth. The one thing I liked about the whole storyline was that the patient, James, has this girlfriend and they're like, look really cute together. And Jackson is like, wow, like you're pretty good with the ladies. And the kid is like, Mark Sloan taught me everything, whatever. And he's like, since I don't have the good looks to fall back on, it's like all my personality. And it was just like a funny little moment.
Yeah. I didn't really understand the point of that storyline. I guess just to Avery to set up that boundary or whatever, but it just annoyed me because I was like, oh, here Arizona is again, and they're like screaming in the OR, like, you can't do it this way. You have to do it the other way. It's like,
oh, right. Great. And that I think it sets the tone that Jackson is the plastics guy now. Puts her in her, or not in her place, but he's just like he brings in the other plastics doctor to oversee him while he's doing it. But like she's not a plastics doctor.
Yes. So. Yes. Good point.
Should we talk about him in April, just since we're talking about him?
Sure.
So is it this one of the, the first one we watched, see episode 11, it starts out with them. I thought this was clever. He like is in there to tell the interns who they're assigned with. And he has Murphy, I think. And then like he purposely is like not being nice to Stephanie up front. Mm-hmm. And then she like asks to be on a service or something. I don't know. They're just doing this whole ploy to keep things secret with each other, which like, go ahead. What?
Oh, I was going to say, but they're still sleeping with each other. And
right.
We find That's out I mean. It's been a month since the last episode. Yes. So they've been sleeping with each other for a month.
Right. And I also thought it was interesting, like Stephanie was so insecure, like in the last episode, which I know was a month ago. And now like her way she is with him is like so not insecure. Like this is the beginning of the Stephanie that I really like. Like I just think I really like her. But she, they're like having sex in on call rooms, but then not because, do you think April was keeping Stephanie busy so that she couldn't? Like did April know about Stephanie or no?
That's a good question. I am not sure. I don't think so. Maybe.
Yeah, I didn't. I thought maybe she did. And then like, but then when Jackson told her that he was sleeping with her still, then it like her reaction was like, oh, she did not know that. And so I wonder like if she would have been that nice and like taught her everything, you know, in the ER. But either way, she's keeping Edwards really, really busy and like teaching her everything she knows. And I love that, like, Edwards, as much as she wants to have sex with Jackson, is also like, I gotta go. Like, I don't have time for this. This is, like, an important part for me to be doing. And so,
anyways. Right. Yeah. And so then along with that, like, April ends up meeting Matthew.
Yeah. During her day in the ER, which is so funny now that Jake is an EMT. Like, so Matthew's a paramedic, but like Jake works with a paramedic. I like now know, like, I knew what paramedics were, but now I feel like, oh, cause like, that's like when they go in and they tell them what happened, like that's what Jake has to do.
Oh, wow.
Like when you bring someone in, usually it's the paramedic that does it. But if it's like one of Jake's cases, which are like less serious things, like he's the one that tells the doctors, like 37-year-old male, whatever.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
I know. So, but yeah, so Matthew's a paramedic who, I don't know, is just, he's very vanilla.
Yeah, he just like shows up and then he's like, ends up by the end of the episode, like
asking her to coffee.
Yeah, approaching in front of Stephanie and like approaching her about that. So.
Oh, I didn't realize it was in front of Stephanie. I don't know why I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Not that it matters, but, and then at the end of that episode, wait, is Matthew come in the second one or the first one?
The second one.
Oh, okay. So in the first one is when, so yeah, so she, April did know Stephanie was sleeping with Jackson.
Oh,
because that happens in the first episode.
Okay. Well, and she misses.
Yeah, so,
and she misses Jackson. There's that whole thing about the cookie.
Right. So she knows about Stephanie when she's helping her in the operating room, which, yes, I do believe then that she's keeping her so busy so that she can't have sex with Jackson.
Right. And then Stephanie doesn't want to have sex with Jackson because she has too much to think about. She's too busy.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, but yeah, at the end of the first one, Jackson comes, like, opens up to April and tells her. It's such a sad, like, little moment, and also so, like, sexual tension, mm-hmm. because her response to that is just, I miss you. And he's like, but we can be friends. And he, like, gets his face, like, 2 inches from her face. And she says, no, they can't, because all she's thinking about is having sex with him.
Yep. Can't be friends when all you think about is sex.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. That makes more sense to me. I was like, wait, I thought I was right on that.
We just had to unpack it. You know, it's totally fine.
We just had to unpack it. Mm-hmm. And he's pretty much with Stephanie until April's wedding, right?
Yeah.
So is that this season?
Is that? Because isn't that the season finale? I thought the storm was this season.
Let's see. April Matthew wedding. The ghosts of the podcast are yelling at us right now.
They're like, God, girls.
Know your shit. It's episode season 10, episode 12. Jesus Christ, we have to wait a whole year?
Oh my God. And he's with Stephanie that long?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Maybe April goes away, or Matthew goes away for a while. You know, like, this was our first inkling of him. And then he doesn't show up until the beginning of season 10 again.
Yeah.
Also, perhaps, does Jackson and April have sex again, maybe? Like, do they, like, does he, I don't know.
I don't know.
There's probably, like, 10 episodes of sexual tension between them before the wedding episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the big storm is this season finale, where Richard gets electrocuted.
I don't even remember. Oh, that one.
I'm pretty sure. Because Meredith is pregnant during the storm, and she's pregnant right now. Or maybe that's later, because she gets but when she's pregnant again,
Derek
dies. Right. Wow.
So anyways.
Wow. I'm getting confused about Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. I thought I was doing this podcast with an expert.
I don't feel like an expert today. I feel like a newbie to all of this.
Okay. Here, I can sum this one up really fast.
Okay.
Karev and Wilson are drinking beer together, getting hungover together, but she has to sleep on the floor because Karev bought Mare's house and doesn't have furniture. He is playing, like, chicken with Christina to see who will give in first and buy furniture. And Wilson is fed up with it. My favorite is that they bring it up to Christina and she's like, it's not my house. I'm not buying furniture.
I know. I love that.
So, yeah, basically they have a bet and Wilson wins $1,000 and uses it to buy a couch.
And perfect. Only other thing about that is Owen feels up Joe and thinks it's Christina.
In the morning.
And also, I thought the scene was really funny when Joe was like, I just need a glass. And Karev sticks his face under the faucet. It's like, if you need a sip of water, you stick your face under the faucet. It's like, that is such a bro thing.
It is. And I like them as, I know they end up romantic, but I kind of like them as friends right now because I feel like, that is what I guess they're not in college, but like a friend of mine would do. You'd be like, just get a drink of water.
Yeah,
and you're just like, ugh, I'm disgusted by you. I also love when she gets the couch. He's like all very confused. And he's like, well, I've never had a female friend that didn't want to have sex with me, except Meredith. And I think, what does he say? I never had a friend who didn't want to do it except Mare, and she probably wanted to do it at some point.
Oh my God.
And then they sit across from each other and drink beer.
Yeah, so that's nice. They're friends right now.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, they get married and then divorced.
Yeah. Wow. Really ruined that one.
oh, God. What next? What did I just do? Let's see. What about... Let's talk about Bailey because I think this is very funny.
Yeah. You take it away. I'll join in.
Okay. So this woman shows up to the ER because she did a sexy flexi, which everyone's like, what is a sexy flexi? She was learning how to pole dance and then she... She bedazzles her vagina and she calls it her cookie, which is hilarious. And this whole time, Bailey is very irritated by it. And then she's in surgery and Bailey wants people, she's like going on this like rant about like, why do you have to do this? Why do you have to bedazzle things? She's like, do people bedazzle penises? And then she wants people to look up bedazzling a penis. And then she asks April if she's ever... vajazzled, and then April won't answer. And then Bailey says, oh, right, Jesus isn't a fan of the vajazzle. And then she also asks Boki if she has vajazzled.
Yes. And Boki looks suspicious. Yeah. So, like, I'm pretty sure Boki has a bedazzled vagina.
Oh, I'm sure of it. And
her cookie is bedazzled.
Yeah. And then I felt really bad for the woman at the end because she just wanted to have sex. And she said, I made it through 40 years of marriage. Like, is it too much to ask to have sex on my anniversary, you know?
Yeah.
And then we find out that Bailey got sand in her cookie and that she went on her honeymoon. They had sex once on her honeymoon because Callie is like, what is your deal about sex? Like, you just had all this great sex on your honeymoon. And Bailey was like, no, we had sex on the first night because Ben wanted to have sex on the beach. And so she got sand in her cookie and then got a bad infection. And then she had sand flea bites on her buttock. And she kept saying buttock. It was very itchy. And then she said, I am not a fan of all these things. I am a fan of the bed. And I love that Callie just busts out laughing. Like, isn't even like...
Yeah.
Isn't even like, oh, Bailey, I'm so sorry. And then Bailey just walks away. I just thought it was a funny side storyline. It didn't have anything to do with anything. It was just funny.
I liked, too, that she's like, and I had to go to the local doctor because they're like on vacation somewhere. The only thing I didn't like, I mean, I get Bailey's reasoning. I clearly think it's situational, but like, I was like, let this lady pole dance.
Yeah. Like, oh, for sure.
But at the end, April?
Wait, the one thing that I missed is that she's trying, and then he said the worst part was he looked embarrassed for me, which is like...
Yeah, that part was sad.
Oh, it makes me so sad. Go ahead.
But at the end, April ends up telling him, like, just, your wife is horny. Like, medically, she's fine. Just have sex with her.
I love that.
And he's like, okay. She's like, is everything working down there? Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Great.
So I'm going to start calling my lady bits a cookie.
My cookie. I eat a... I was just about to say I eat a lot of cookies every day.
I mean...
Think what you want.
I mean, it's... We got to get through this quarantine somehow, so...
Yeah, we sure do. Okay, I'm going to talk about Richard real fast. It's been a month since Adele died, and he is, like, Catherine is making Jackson assess Richard's depression, trying to send him cookies. Wait, is that in the same episode?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And then, oh, yeah, honestly, there's a lot of cookie things. So then the cook, just really quick with April... the cookies are sitting there because Chief didn't, or Rubber did not want them. And Christina is talking to April and is like, Christina, or is Jackson is like a cookie. People on a diet, like, make their whole life about the cookie and they can't have the cookie. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there's even more cookie metaphors.
Yeah.
And then Catherine shows up too. And, he basically like yells at her. I don't like when Chief yells or whatever yells. He goes, my wife died while I was carrying on with another woman. My wife died. So what I'm eating and how I'm sleeping is not your concern. I don't want to go to lunch. I don't want cookies. I don't want you here. God, I can't think of the cookie thing. I don't want cookies.
He says which you're is not a little my harsh. Wife.
Yes, it's very harsh because I do believe like Catherine is just trying to help. Also how like, I mean, he was just sleeping with her and then to like do this. But anyways, and he's also hanging out in his Hall of Horrors, he calls it. It's like the room where all of the weird things that have come out of people's bodies is.
It's the room where first, it happened.
Yes. And I thought it was really sad that at first, like, Meredith and him are, like, talking. I remember Mr. Whatever. And he's like, now when I look at this, all I think about is, like, this was the Thanksgiving dinner that I missed because I did this surgery and whatever. And, like, all he can look at and think about are all the missed opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really interesting parallel between him and Meredith because they both tend to do the thing where they like don't think they deserve to be happy or like they need to punish themselves for things that have happened in the past or something. And like she's trying to tell him he doesn't need to do that. And then he right back at her, which does he know she's pregnant?
I don't know, actually.
But he says something to her that makes it seem like, you know, you should be happy, Meredith. Like, you know, like basically like they both are stopping themselves from being happy. And no one else is putting that guilt on them. Like no one else is mad at Richard because he should have been with his wife. Like it's, it happened. Like he is the only one with that. And so it all comes kind of to like fruition at the end. When Catherine is eating at the Firefly, which is where she invited him to, I think to eat, she's by herself and Richard shows up, which part of me was like, did he call to make sure she was going to be there? Like what? And he just says to her, I should have been there. And then I love that Catherine just says, I know. And then he says that he feels like he lost the right to grieve because he started seeing Catherine. Mm. And I love that Catherine's just like, I would just like to hold your hand. Like, can I just do that? Like, you are already grieving. You can't, like, stop it. Like, why would you choose to grieve alone? And yeah. I just thought, like, it was such a really beautiful response. And it made me a little emotional.
Yeah. I think you summed that up very well. I don't really have any other thoughts about that. I guess the only other thing I will say is that, because we kind of talked about Meredith, is that Christina knows she's pregnant mm-hmm. and Derek finds that out. Because in the beginning, Derek wants Meredith to tell Christina that she's pregnant. I think because then for Derek, it will feel real and he knows, you know, she needs to tell her twisted sister. He finds out that Christina already knows, and Christina says to Derek, she will tell me when she's happy or when she's ready to be happy about it, which I thought was really great. And then she was like, she knows I know. And then Derek is like super confused. He's like, wait, so she knows that you know, and she's not telling you, and you know, and it's like, yeah, but she'll tell me when she's ready to be happy about it. And then at that dinner, Meredith says, and I'm pregnant and I'm happy. And so
it all comes full circle.
Yep.
At a fancy restaurant for both of them.
Yeah. And then it's really sweet. And like, while like Owen's in like the room with the lawyers and stuff, they've like flashback to the dinner and they're getting a picture taken and they're all like saying baby and like touching Meredith's belly and stuff. It's really sweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, I like don't even want to talk about this part because it just was, but like Meredith is with Shane the whole next day. And
it's very emotional. Hormones.
Yeah. She's crying when she's mad. She's crying when she's happy. She wants to have sex all the time. She's crying because she can't have sex, which it's really funny, that scene. But my reason for talking about this is that she also flies on an airplane for the first time since. So I feel like Meredith is like on this path of like, she is the best too, is that she wasn't gonna fly. She like says like, I, you know, I can't fly. And then she ends up showing up telling Bailey to leave. And you see this like force in her. It was like really powerful for me to watch her buckle up her seatbelt and like look forward and like know that she's like not being passive, you know, in her like life. Like she's taking it and she's like, all right, I'm gonna do this. And I said it was badass watching her do that.
Yeah, I loved that scene where she got on the plane and just, and Shane is watching her too, you know, and she's just opens her eyes like as they take off and she overcomes her fear. She cries when she's angry and happy. Said pregnancy hormones sound terrible. So
yeah, they sure do.
I mean, because I already do that. So like it will be an extra added layer of emotion. No one will be able to stand me. That's for sure.
I also feel like we should just, because this will tie into the Derek surgery, which is one of the things we have left to talk about, which is that Shane is, he works with both the Shepherds. Mm-hmm. Like, in these two episodes, and he's just an interesting like character. Like he With Meredith, I'll just start, he like doesn't shut up. He like talks too much. Mm-hmm. He fucks up the hilum in the surgery when they're getting the liver, which like, I was like, holy fuck, you can just fuck that up and not get like in trouble.
Yeah.
Also, I love the teaching moment Mare gives him when she's like, No. Like, you ruined a perfectly good liver. I think that that's like necessary as like when you're an intern, that when you do fuck up, you get told it so you don't do it again. Mm-hmm. But, and then he like, for a second I thought he was going to drop the thing with the liver, but did that already happen? Was like George, like, was there something in like an early season where someone drops like the, I think it is George.
Oh no, I think it's Meredith who drops it. And they're like, 10-second rule.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was like waiting for him to drop that when I was like, oh, God, he's going to fucking drop it. But yeah, so then we can talk about him with Derek if you like the surgery, the ping pong.
Yeah. So in the first episode, we think that like Derek is going to be back to real operating. I was like, oh, so the surgery must have worked. But then it actually was ping pong. And Callie's like, I think our problem last time was we put you into surgery too soon. So, like, we're going to have you rehab. This is the same motion or whatever. And so they end up doing this ping pong game, like, all day. And Shane is supposed to play. And it's kind of funny. Like, Shane, like, is letting Derek win. And then Derek's like, stop doing that. And so Shane gets, like, really competitive and starts, like smack talking, like, Dr. Shepard. But then, like, apologizing and being like, I'm sorry.
Let's go, bitch.
And then, yeah, Shane ends up winning, and that's how Joe gets the money or whatever. But then Derek is like, all right, one more, but I'm going to play with my dominant hand or whatever. And I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
So
I liked when he is he's like, I think you're letting me win. He's like, I absolutely am letting you win. He was just like, why would I choose to not let you win? Also, I love this whole episode. Callie calls Derek's hand her hand.
Yeah. Yep. It's funny.
He's
like, it's still like, my hand. She's like, yeah, well,
built it.
Yeah.
He ends up doing this surgery for 23 hours. I just didn't like think that that was possible.
Yeah. And he wants Shane on the surgery because Shane doesn't like, he's clearly been working with Dr. Shepard, and so they're like, have a bond, and he can kind of read his mind or whatever. But he ends up having Joe on the surgery, and he lies to Alana and says the surgery got pushed to 3, and he pretty much yells at her and says, like, anyone who isn't like helpful or whatever in this OR is like,
I don't allow in my, yeah. Yep.
And
yeah, Wilson like changes the board.
Yeah.
Right in front of them.
Yeah. And so Derek's surgery ends up working out and it's a big success. They're really happy. And Meredith says that you got your hand back at the end, which is very sweet.
Yeah. I just can't believe 23 hours. That's like
insane. Oh, the.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
My one random note I have is like Callie being really upset at the end of the second episode. And Arizona's like, do you want to go to the beach with me? And then they both do a little like meditation-y thing.
Meditation.
And I said, I want to be on a beach right now.
I have a few random notes. One is when the pole dancer woman, when she goes, I landed on my husband. There was nothing hard about it. Funny. Flaccid penis joke. And then also the episode 12 starts with a Lord Huron song. And I was just like, oh, I love this song so much. Lord Huron is like one of my favorite bands. They're from Michigan. And I got walked down the aisle to one of their songs.
Oh, that's very nice.
And it was a weird song to have playing while Arizona's glass leg shattered into 1,000 pieces, but whatever.
Yeah.
And then my last note is that Derek and Meredith's house is incredible. It shows a view of it from the outside and you're just like, damn.
Yeah, it's a really nice house. I have like two or three. That mom who had the child who had a giant hairball, which by the way, is that in my cat? Like that is terrifying. That mother was terrible. She was so horrible. Yeah. I also thought it was hilarious that Brooks in the surgery was like, I used to eat dirt. And then she's like, I don't anymore. It's like, okay.
Yeah, she's special.
She what?
I said she's very special.
Yeah.
Brooks, like her comments always come at such odd times.
Yeah. And then let me just make sure. Oh, I think that April's a really good teacher. And mm-hmm. My last note is livers are really big. So that's about it.
All right, let's do notes and trivia because we got to get to our Zoom hangout soon.
Okay. Do you want to do the first one?
Sure. This episode's title originated from the song The End is the Beginning is the End, originally sung by Smashing Pumpkins. This episode scored 8.8 million viewers. This is the first episode written by Joan Rader on her own. The previous 14 episodes she wrote were co-written with Tony Fallon. This episode was originally titled Judgment Day. The blouse Catherine was wearing on this episode was the same blouse Callie wore on If/Then. How do they even know that? The hairball prop was made out of doll hair and plastic. A goof. In the scene where Meredith reveals her pregnancy, Callie seems very surprised. This is odd because she already found out from Heather in Love Turns You Upside Down.
Oh, right. Okay. This episode title originated from the song Walking on a Dream, originally sung by Empire of the Sun. The episode scored 9.1 million viewers. Although in a dream, this is the last time Arizona Robbins is seen with both her legs. Oh, interesting. This episode marks,
except like every other season where they never show her prosthetic.
Oh, that's true. This episode marks the introduction of Matthew Taylor, who becomes a major reoccurring character throughout the rest of the season and the subsequent season. Goof. On the ER board, a doctor named A. Cahill is listed as the doctor to A. Kirker, the patient in bed 8. The patient with shortness of breath in bed 6 is called A. Whitting, though A. Whitting is also listed as the doctor to the patient in bed 5. Most likely, the cards with A. Cahill and A. Whitting should be switched, as Alana Cahill acted as if she was experiencing shortness of breath. Good God. Goof. April wrongly names the law of conservation of energy as the law of motion. Oh.
How dare she?
Okay.
All right, Catherine Fox Award. I hate always giving it to Mare because, like, obviously she's the showrunner. But I said she allowed herself to be happy. She flew on an airplane. But then I was like, maybe Derek, he operated for 23 hours. But I don't know. Meredith?
I said, I don't know. I guess I agree with Mare. No one really stood out to me in these episodes. Maybe Arizona for having Alex stab her in the foot and going to the beach.
Ooh, yeah.
Maybe Owen for, like, helping Arizona, but that was just, like, a small moment. So I guess Meredith is fine with me.
Okay. And we both rated it the same.
7 scalpels. I didn't really love these 7 episodes.
No, it was, like, fine.
Yeah.
It's the mid-season gloom, you know? We just got done with the mid-season premiere. Now we're going to get boring again, and then it'll amp up again.
Yes, exactly. Just like life. In general.
It almost makes me like, that's why I like shows that have like 12 episodes.
Mm-hmm. There's like a steady heartbeat through it all.
Yeah. The 24 is like, oh God, it's just a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, we'd be done with our podcast if we only had 12 episodes.
That is true. Yeah. But think about what would we be doing while self-distancing or social distancing?
That's true. Nothing. Yeah. I wanted to give a quick shout out I've been doing these FaceTime photo sessions. You can see them on my Instagram at Abby L. Moore, but I've been doing them and I just got to do one of a listener, Hannah, who found the sessions because she listens to the podcast. Usually I feel like people find the podcast because they were already following like my part of like some people, like my photo work. Mm-hmm. So it was so cool to have someone I got to take photos of who met me through the podcast. That's just like backwards and really exciting for me.
That's super exciting. Hi, Hannah.
So thank you for supporting. Oh, she's also a patron and she like supported me in that. So thank you for supporting us doubly. It just really means a lot.
Very grateful to that. Very grateful to all of our patrons. And we got to get going because we're going to go have a Zoom hangout.
I know. I have to pee before we do this. So I'm going to call time of death. Thank you for listening today. Our time of death is 1451.